Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It is now the 8:30 hour. Time for Words of Wisdom, plain and simple. And I'm your host, Diane Adams. I'm just a servant of God. And I'm pressing daily towards the mark that I can grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I greet each and every one of you in divine love. I thank you for taking time out of your schedule and coming together on Wednesday night to explore the Word of God. I thank God for the opportunity that he allows us to come and fellowship on Wednesday night, day after day, week after week, year after year. I thank him. I thank God that he has given us this, because I can tell you tonight I didn't go looking for it, so I know it's of God. I pray that each and every one of you had a great week. Maybe something that you were praying for was manifested in your life. Maybe your dream that you might have has been fulfilled. And maybe you're just full of gratefulness for what God has done and doing and promised to do, holding on to the confession of your faith. Our lesson tonight is coming from the book of John. Some of you may have got a post that said Matthew, but it wasn't Matthew. It's not Matthew, the 19th chapter is the book of John. So I'm sorry. And not really, because if you got the text and you read the chapter, all of God's word is good. But those who like to follow in the Bible, and if you have your Bible, instead of Matthew's, turn to the book of John. And if you don't have your Bible, get it and turn it to the book of John in the 9th chapter. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And I pray that those who did read the printed text, even though it's not the one that's going to be expounded on tonight, but that I know, I don't have any doubt that there was a word from God for you. Tonight, our lesson, the title is, God uses every situation and every one of our life experiences for his glory. We're coming from the book of John, the 9th chapter, the 1st through the 34th verse. Always, we give a little background. But what I'm going to do first is play this song. Then we're going to go through to God's throne of grace. And then we'll come back and expound on the word of God.
Sometimes there are obstacles in the road that can leave you feeling low, and you don't know how to move forward. And sometimes there are turns you wanna take, but the way gets hard to trace. Now you're wondering, how did you get here? But don't you give up until you see how God is ordering your steps, so you can walk into your seats. He that has begun a great work in you is faithful to perform. God is faithful to perform. He that has begun a great work in you is faithful to perform it. Our God is faithful. to bless the world and flow.
He has begun
a great
work in you.
He's faithful to perform
it.
God is faithful to perform. Oh,
he that has
begun a great work in you is faithful to perform it. God is faithful to perform it. Yourself and say, God is doing a great work. He's doing a great work. He's doing a great work in me. God is doing a great work. He's doing a great work. He's doing a great work in me.
God is doing a great work.
So what should be considered as we proceed is that this work did not begin with you. Our mother's mother and father's father planted seeds when we were but the faint notion of a dream in their mind. They hope for a harvest, a legacy, a great work. So may your next step forward help us to connect the dots and see this picture of greatness. In fact, I hear God say that you are
song is God is doing a great work. I had a trying week this week, my sisters and brothers. And usually, you know, God has given me the ability to keep functioning in the midst of what's going on in and through and around me. But I'm human. And it may have been affecting me more than I realized. You know, I'm trying to put it into a perspective to understand it totally, to move on. But I'm here tonight, and I got ready to play a song, and that's the song that came up. But I want you to know that I feel my help coming on. That song reminded me, yes, there's a message in a song. That song reminded me that God is doing a great work. He also said, don't get weary, you know, and the work that God has begun in us, he's able to complete it. So I thank God. I thank that song which has encouraged me as I stand before you tonight. And I just want you to know God is able. No matter what you're going on, what's going on in your life, God knows about it. And he's going to work it out together for your good. And it's never over till God says it's over. And we have to just keep marching on and pressing on in the midst of our storm so that our joy could be restored. You see, joy has the ability to stand tall even in a storm. Happy just get blown away. We all want to be happy. But you know we need joy. that can withstand the test of time, joy, even in our good times and our bad times, joy. And I thank God. And I thank him for this opportunity he came, that he gave me to come before you guys. And again, I thank each and every one of you. And at this time, we're going to have our prayer. And I'm asking that each and every one of you pray for me, because I am in need of prayer. Me, I'm in the need of prayer. Now, I need your prayers. So pray for me. At this time, we're going to have our prayer warrior, Sister Pam, come and bring us before the throne of grace. And once she's finished, we're going to expound on the word of God. Sister Pam, your mic is open.
Good evening, my sisters and brothers. Before I read the prayer list, I just wanted to ask if anybody wanted to add a name to the prayer list on tonight before I read it. And if you would, just press the one button, and Minister Diane will open up your mic for you. Okay, the prayer list for tonight, February.
Did I have one? Hold on, Sister Pam. Someone's ready.
Okay.
Caller, your number is 504-621. Your mic is open.
My name is Sister Maddie, and I would like my name prayer list.
Okay, Sister Maddie.
Sister Maddie, I'm so glad to hear your voice.
Well, praise the Lord.
I'm glad you're with us.
Yes, I'm glad to be on tonight.
Love you, darling.
Thank you. Love everyone, too.
And I have another caller. Your number is 504-231. Your mic is open.
I would like to add Katina, Orlando, Gina, and Jace to the prayer list tonight.
That's Gina, and what was the last person name?
Jace, J-A-C-E.
Okay. Anyone else?
Yeah, I would like to add my grandson Michael and his mother Ashley to the prayer list, and my son Michael.
Anybody else? Okay, this is the prayer list for February 1st, 2023. Kathy Hartman, Diane McBride and family, Roderick McGee, John McGee, Rogers Lacaz, Quine Charles, Kalia Edwards, Zabrian Williams, Angel Taylor, Zena and family, Linda Howard, Robin Serenade, Sylvester Daniels, Barbara, Kirk Johnson, Sister Mary Jo Pope, Hades, Brother KJ, families of all those that was murdered, people that was murdered, Mary Alice Pope, Minister Diane Adams, Maddie Vernado, Katina Orlando, Gina, Jace, Michael and his mother Ashley, and Minister Diane's son, Michael. Thank you, O Lord, tonight for life. Thank you, Lord, for affording us this opportunity to fellowship one with another via telephone lines and the internet. Father God, we come on this first Wednesday night in February 2023 to lift up our brothers and sisters on our prayer list. We thank you, Father God, for allowing us to be intercessors on their behalf. Father God, I ask you to move in the midst of your people. Move through their homes. Move through their workplaces. Move in a way, O Lord, that only you can. Lord, if there's anything in the midst of them that shouldn't be, Father God, I ask you just remove it and give them the strength that they need from you. Lord, I ask you just make them all whole again. Lord, we know that you and only you can turn the impossible to possible, but we must believe it to achieve it. Lord, we thank you for not leaving us. We thank you, Father God, for not giving up on us. Father God, we thank you for not taking your hands off of us. We thank you, O Lord, for your love. We thank you, Father God, for your grace. We thank you, O Lord, for your mercy. But most of all, Father God, we thank you for your darling son, Jesus the Christ. And it's in his name that I pray this prayer. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen, my sister. Thank you so much for your faithfulness. I want you to know that God honors that love when we be in service. We all have something we can give, but we have to be committed and submit ourselves. And God, see your faithfulness, and I appreciate what you do for this Words of Wisdom, plain and simple, each week. I thank you. I thank you so much. And now it's time to study. We have more callers that has called in on the line. And so I'm going to give the scripture again so you could get your Bible. But we're going to be in John, the 9th chapter, verses 1 through 34. And the title of the lesson is God Uses All of Our Situations and Life Experiences for His Glory. For His glory. And a little bit of background tonight, I want to say God uses every aspect of our lives, all of our life experiences, our failures, our successes, our shortcomings, and our suffering. Let's look at that a little while. When we think about life experiences, you know, we experience some things that we thought was the worst things in the world. And many times you think about life experience, you go back to when you were young and maybe how you was raised. And many times, you know, we felt unloved. We felt alone. We felt our parents or our caregivers could have did a better job. But one time I was thinking about some things about my father. This was a good while ago. And of course I had made assumptions and I had made evaluations in my mind about him. And one day the Spirit told me that I was judging out of children's eyes. And I didn't have enough wisdom, understanding, knowledge, and truth to understand the whole picture. You know, many times that's why God say he's the righteous and the only righteous judge, because God can see it all. We could only see what's right here in front of us. And we make assumption and our imagination bring us to places. And I'm not saying that the situation you was in wasn't dysfunctional, or the parents didn't do a great job or as good as they could have did. But even during those times, God used those situations to get you where you are today. And I don't know about you, but I could say it in my life. You know, many times, and maybe because my mother died so young, she was young and I was young, and I had to begin to figure out things on my own. I had to learn how to take care of myself, and I had to, you know, make a way for me. And if I look back over my life and think about it right now, you know, I have to be thankful because early on in my young adult life, you know, I was married and I had two children, but my husband wasn't a good husband or a good father, but I knew how to take care of myself and my children from the training I had gotten when I was younger, from the wisdom that I understood that no matter what goes on, you got to be able to take care of yourself and do the best that you can. So, you know, just like a situation like that, I can look at it now and understand God used my life experiences, my failures, my successes, and many of my shortcomings, and my suffering as an occasion for the manifestation of his glory. We have to remember God created us before the foundation of the world. Jeremiah 29:11 lets us know that God says the thought that he has towards us is not thoughts of evil but of good. God said to Jeremiah to tell the world that he has an expected end for you. And see, God takes all of those things that I said and he put them together to develop you to where you are today or where you need to be. And then he gives you some things that look so bad, but he allowed you to have those things that you could comfort someone else. You know, our life experiences, if you go to any place of rehab, you know, the workers that work there is usually always someone that had an addiction too, because they could truly understand and they could be more compassionate and they could tell how they got over and how they did it. You know, many times there are some people that so holy, they're so holy, they're not even earthly good. You see, when I come across people like that, I never did this and I never did that and I never did this and oh, I didn't do that. What could they tell me? That's just like they'll tell you a married woman shouldn't go to advice from a single woman. God uses our situations and life experiences to get us to where we are. You see, scripture describes all types of suffering viewed in terms of cause, of purpose. All right? First, suffering as a proving or testing of your faith. Second, suffering meant for improvement to make you mature, to grow you up. And for your edification. Third, suffering as punishment for your sin. Because see, Jesus took away the sins, but the punishment of those sins, the consequences, belongs to you. And fourth, suffering that shows forth God's glory. God could take you from here to there when the people get and talk about, you know, I grew up in a project or whatever, and we were very, very poor. What amazed me is that people used to always try to make themselves to be more than they are. But nowadays, since it's like, I don't even know what to call it or what category to put it in, but everybody want to talk about how hard it was and how poor they was and how they didn't this and that. It's all right to say those things, but really and truly, when they say that, if they came from small beginnings and now they're great, it's nothing but the grace of God. So even if we came from places like this and God has blessed us, We know it's only by God's grace, all things through Christ Jesus, and that gives God the glory. Hallelujah. If we look at 1 Peter 5 and 10, it says, but the God of all grace, who has called us into his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after ye have suffered a while, after you have suffered a while, the scripture says, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. You got to believe it to achieve it. So my brothers and sisters, no matter what you're going through in your life tonight, it's not over until God says it's over. And God is constantly arranging and rearranging the matters in your life to get you to the intended purpose that he's designed for you before the foundation of the world, before you was in your mother's womb. And we got to always remember what Romans 8 and 28 says. All things. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. That's appropriate for the what we're talking about for God's glory. All things work together. Your good, your bad, and your ugly. Your ups, your downs, your even your turnarounds, your fall arounds, your fall downs. It's gonna work together for the good if you love the Lord to them who are the called according to his purpose. Know that God is in the plan. Know that God is using you. Everything that God created was for his glory. That's me and you. So that's a little background. And now I'm going into John, the 9th chapter, and we're going to read many verses because I realized, you know, doing a verse or two is good. But because God has given us the opportunity and we have the time to do the chapter, I believe at the end you'll have more information. So if we look at John, I'm going to start at the first chapter and I'm going to read to the 5th verse. And it says, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, neither has this man sinned nor his parents, but that the work of God would be manifested in him. See, Jesus saying he didn't sin, his mama didn't sin. God allowed it so that he could that the work of God can be manifested in him at that time. At that time, he was blind at birth. Jesus said nobody sinned, but that God can do his work. The manifestation for his glory. And Jesus went on to say, I must work the work of him that sent me while it is day, the night coming when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. You see, if I look, say something about these verses, back then it was a common belief in the Jewish culture that calamities and suffering was a result of some great sin. You remember when Job was being tested by God and his friend said, Job, you know, what did you do this bad? Or what did your mom and him do? You know, what sins y'all committed to bring all of this down on you, Job? Job said, I didn't really sin. And if I did sin, it wasn't that bad to cause all that I have. Joseph said, Job might have said, I make mistakes. But this is a great price. You see, so they said that it was a sin that causes, you know, the suffering. Just like when Katrina came and all everybody in New Orleans was scattered and those that was saving, you know, was used to going to church. You know, you went to a church, you know, the first chance you got. And all the people in there were saying that God had destroyed New Orleans because it was Sin City. And, you know, the people, you know, New Orleans was just that terrible, so sinful. I guess some of them even say New Orleans was a modern-day Sodom and Gomorrah. And so they figured because of the sin, there had to be judgment, and the judgment was the flood. And I can remember being in a Sunday school class out of town a few weeks after Katrina, and the people were saying that. And all I did was raise my hand. And I say, you guys sound like Job friends talking to Job. You're not speaking love. You're speaking damnation. You know, I'm from New Orleans. So what you're telling me, you know, I was sinful. Everybody in New Orleans was sinful. You know, they had no godly people. Think about what you're saying, but that's the way people do. And that's what they was going to talk about this man as we get to it in this chapter. You see, we live in a fallen world where good behavior is not always rewarded and bad behavior is not always punished. Therefore, innocent people sometimes suffer. Come on, y'all. Come on. If God took suffering away whenever we ask, we would follow him for comfort and convenience, not out of love and devotion. There is always a reason for your season. So hold on, my sisters and brothers, whatever you're going through, whatever state you're in at this time, just hold on because there's a reason for the season. Not our will, but the will of God, using everything he created for his glory. God, Jesus shift the focus, and instead of addressing the cause of the man's blindness, he speaks of his purpose, so that the work of God may be displayed in his life. Some people are sick. God didn't orchestrate the sickness in their lives, but He allowed it, but the manifestation of his work. Come on now. How could God be a healer if there was nobody to heal? How could he be a deliverer when there was no one who needed deliverance? How would you know that God is a provider if you never had a need? To manifest his work. We should not be concerned with assigning blame, trying to figure out the source of suffering in an individual life is futile given the limited understanding. See, sometimes they say, oh, she's suffering because she committed adultery 6 years ago. You know, you can't. Label suffering with a specific sin or a specific situations, but people do that. You see, and this is the thing you got to always remember. That's why God gave us the book of Job, because sometimes it's only a test, God allowing it for your good, and he uses our stories, my sisters and brothers, for his glory. It's never what you're going through, but who you go through it with. Jesus had the power to help us deal with it. You remember Joseph was sold into Egypt as a slave. And God raised him up to be what he's called the second Moses, because he saved his people from starvation. Come on, y'all. And not only that, he raised Joseph up, the slave, to be second in command. When God allowed the Hebrew boys to step in a fiery furnace, didn't he deliver them, y'all? He didn't orchestrate them being placed in a fiery furnace, and they hadn't committed any sin to cause them to get there. But God used the situation for his glory, because they came out and nothing was burned. And when that pagan king looked in there, he said, "Are you sure we put three? Because I see four. And one looked just like the Son of God." The manifestation of his glory, y'all. When you suffer from a disease, tragedy, or disability, try not to ask why this happened to me, what I did or didn't do. Instead, ask God to give you strength for the trial and a clear perspective on what is happening. This is for me, y'all, tonight. This man nor his parents had control over how he was born. But we see here God had a reason, and it is now manifested in this and that season. There is no such cause and effect here. He was born blind. No cause and effect. Only the will of the Father. This is what God wants us to do in every situation of our lives. Just trust him, because he knows best. If I read verse 6 through verse 11, it says, "When he had thus spoken," talking about Jesus, "he spit on the ground, and made clay of the spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay." 7. "And he said unto them, to him, go and wash in the pool of Siloam. He went his way therefore and washed, and came out seeing." 8. "The neighbors therefore, and they that watch," "the neighbors and they which before had seen him that he was blind, said, is not this he that sat and bathed?" Now, they know who the man was, but now he's seen, and they can't quite comprehend the miraculous healing and the miracle. They say, "Is this not the one that sat and bathed?" That's what some said. Yet some said, "This is he." Others said, "He is like him." But he said, "I am he." You see, no matter what God do, some people is never enough, and some people can't understand, and they try to make it fit into their perspective, into their imagine, into their perspective, and fit their imagination that's running wild with it. "Therefore they said unto him, how were thy eyes opened? He answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went, washed, and I received sight." Talk about these little scriptures right now. It's amazing that even though some of the people saw with their own eyes, didn't believe. They said it was not the beggar or someone who looked like him. And the man just said, "It is I." People sometimes can't see the forest for the trees. Some things that God is doing out, it's some things that God is working out in your life, people may not congratulate but began to hate. You see, your story should give you the evidence of God's power, how he worked it out for your good, and if he did it then, he could do it again. Think about some of the tight spots that God got you out over your life. He brought you this far to lead you. And if he did it then, he could do it again. Do you believe it? Not just your story, but the story of others. If he did it for them, he could do it for you. Because he has no respect to person. Verse 12 through 17. Then say they unto him, where is he? They start asking about Jesus now. He said, I know not, the blind man. 13. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforehand was blind. They couldn't figure it out. They grab him and they bring him to the Pharisees because they were supposed to be the big gurus of the things of God. And yet they knew the law, but they didn't know how to love. So they snatch him up and they bring him to the Pharisees in verse 14. And it was a Saturday when Jesus made the clay and opened the eyes. 15. Then again, the Pharisees also asked him, how had he received his sight? He said unto them, he put clay upon my eyes, and I watched and do see. 16. Therefore, some said of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was division among them. They said unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him? That he opened my eyes. He said he was a prophet. The blind man now, he called him Jesus early, and he wanted to give him a great title, so he called him a prophet. You know, he may not have been saved or a follower of God, but he called him Jesus earlier, and now he's giving him a title of a prophet. And look what that, sometimes people worry about the wrong things. The Pharisees feel justified by saying he's not a, you know, a man of God because he did the healing on the Sabbath day. Sometimes people want to tie you down so tight in rules and regulation and religion that they miss the whole point. Would it be better for the man to stay blind than to be healed on a Sabbath day? We got to remember about the Sabbath. God created the Sabbath for man. The Sabbath's supposed to be a day of rest. God didn't need no rest. But he was letting us know we need balance and we need rest and we need these things. So God created the Sabbath, but he created it for man. The Sabbath, they don't make God no more God. There are rules and really many laws about the Sabbath. The Sabbath, and many men had put in that, in the Pharisees and the Sadducees had added more rules and regulations to the ones that was already given. But we can't put God in a box and be so narrow-minded about the things of God that if you see somebody doing the work of God on a Sabbath day and you want to nail them to the cross, it's just ludicrous. And that's what this was, ludicrous. You see, Jesus did what he had to do, and he kept it moving. See, all of them is asking, where's the man, where's the man? Now, Jesus healed a man's eyes. When this chapter said, in verse 12, they said unto him, where is he? And he said, I know not. That lets you know Jesus had left. See, Jesus did what he had to do, and he kept it moving. You see, the man was asked, and he said, I don't know where he's at.
Sometimes you do something for someone and want the whole world to know. You stay and you wait and wish and hope to receive the praise and glory which only belongs to God. And God says if you do something for somebody and you want a man's reward, you can only get a man's reward. They then get the Pharisees that we know to shine some light on the matter. They wanted to know who the prophet was. So they questioned it. And what did he do? And when he did it? And how he did it? Yeah, he did it on a Sabbath. He made clay. And yes, he is a prophet. It happened on a Sabbath, which means to them was a sin. How can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? In verse 18 to 23, but the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind. They saying the man wasn't blind. That was like the fake preachers come on the TV when they touch their head and they fall down, or they said it was crippled and not a walking, if they take and push the wheelchairs. They thought it was a scene like that, and that was probably going on. That's why they believed it. And that's why I tell you, ain't nothing new under the sun. The scripture says, I'm going to start over, but the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. So they ain't satisfied. Oh, he wasn't blind. They were faking it. They believed Jesus came to town, paid the man some money, and told the man to act like he was healed. And they asked him, went to the parents, saying, is this your son who ye say was born blind? How then do it he now speak? 20. The parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But by what means he now see? We don't know. Or who has opened his eyes? We know not. But the parents say, okay, he is of age. Ask him, and he shall speak for himself. Come on, y'all. These words affect the parents because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if any man did confess Jesus, confess that he was Christ, he would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, the parents, his parents, he is of age, asked him. See, you had to fear even serving Jesus at that time. And now we have all the freedom in the world. They had to fear at that time to follow Jesus. And now we have the right and privileges. Y'all do the math. Y'all got the point. You see, they were trying to discredit the work that Jesus had done. They wanted to prove that this was not possible. The man, the parents proved that he was their son, and now he see. They did not say who did it, how he did it, but they say it is done. Verse 24 to 34. Then again, called they the man that was blind and said to him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, where he be a sinner or not, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, I see. He's saying, give the credit to God. Because, you know, the Jews believed God, but they never accepted his son. So they didn't want any credit to go to anybody. They was all right when they say give God the praise.
because we know this man is a sinner. So if you're going to be using miracles that come from God in reference with a sinner, you know, you're going to get in trouble. He said, I don't know what he, whether he be a sinner or not. I know not, but one thing I know, whereby I was blind, I now see. Then say that day to him, what did he to thee? How open thy eyes? The blind man said, he answered them, I have told you already, and ye do not hear. Therefore should ye hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? He getting down, y'all, the blind man. Then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciples, but we are Moses' disciples. Now look at the blind man, how he's confessing Jesus Christ. A man that didn't know him until now, y'all. Come on now. So he said the man's name was Jesus in an earlier verse. And then he called him a prophet. And now he's saying, do you want to follow him and be his disciples? Ha ha, the man, ha ha, with just meeting Jesus, how he began to talk. He said, y'all won't be his disciples. Oh, no, we disciples of Moses. We know that God spake unto him, to them. Why, wherein is a marvelous thing that you know not from whence he is, and yet he has opened your eyes? How you going to know that? Because Jesus kept it moving. 31, now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and do his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, this is 32, since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was blind, born blind? They say, we ain't never heard of nothing like that. But you see, God uses all of his life experiences, his life situations, for the manifestation of his work at an appointed time and appointed season, for appointed purpose, for appointed reason. They had never heard of it before. So it was like God was doing a new thing. And God did it because he can, because he's selfless. God could do anything but fail. And 33 said, if this man were not of God, he couldn't do nothing. See, that's the blind man talking. And 34, they answered and said unto him, thou wasn't altogether born in sin, and do it thou teachest us. And they threw him out. See, he's start talking some deep stuff. They say, what you think you're going to try to teach us now? Guess the man said, what I know, I know. The man said, we know if God doesn't hear sinners, but if any man worship God and do his will, he hears. That was deep. After his encounter with Jesus. Don't you know when we meet Jesus, our life should be different. Our speech should be different. Our faith, we should develop and go on This man had just met Jesus, and he's standing up and confessing Jesus and saying that he's a prophet and that he, you know, he's a leader, so he has disciples and all of this. You see, and they went on interrogating him like an attorney in a court today. They asked him the same questions over and over and over again, trying to get him to deny his statement. He wouldn't back down, y'all. A man that had just met Jesus. And look at his faith, y'all. That's what the Bible means if you have the faith of a mustard seed. Y'all know how tiny a mustard seed is. This man had just encountered Jesus, and he wouldn't back down. And he gave Jesus the most praise he knew how to give him. He called him a prophet. He said he had disciples, or should have. He probably heard Jesus had disciples. He was asking them, did y'all want to join him? Oh, no, we disciples of Moses. He wouldn't deny it, y'all. He stated that he did not know how or why he was healed, but he knew that his life had been miraculously changed. You don't need all of the questions. You don't need all of the answers to the questions in order to share Christ with others. Tell them that what he has done in your life and is doing and promised to do for you and for them. Then trust that God will use your story, which is your testimony, for his glory, helping others to believe. He was severely tested by the authorities, but he held on to the confession of that faith. And I'll say the size of a mustard seed. He held on to the confession, his newfound faith. So new, but yet powerful. That's why the Bible said the last will be first and the first will be last. It don't matter how long you be with Jesus. What matters is what you do since you met Jesus. It doesn't matter how long, but what you do since you met him. The first will be last, and the last could be first. Remember, no one can take away the eternal life that Jesus has given you. And as I close, this man gained not only physical sight, but also spiritual sight. And he recognized Jesus as a prophet and a one that has disciples. And he called his name Jesus. His being born blind was a part of God's master plan to be revealed at this appointed time for his glory. Understand, y'all, pain and suffering and handicaps and disabilities. Not everybody that may be. Even in the Bible, when the miracles were being formed, you got to remember everybody wasn't healed. And you got to remember that everybody, you know, some of the sufferings caused their death, especially those who was after Jesus. But as far as healing, in the book of Isaiah, it said, by his stripes we were healed. By his stripes, we were healed. I know we use that scripture to talk about healing. And God can heal. And God does in 2023 still do miracles. But the scripture says, by his stripes we were healed. The we were healed because when Jesus died for us and they whipped him and he shed his blood, because God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, whomsoever believed shall not perish but have an everlasting life. So when God, Jesus shed his blood, the opportunity for everyone who believed to receive the spiritual healing. So when Jesus died, it was afforded to us. And when we accepted Christ, we were healed from our sin sickness. That's done if you accept him. But yes, Jesus can heal today as well. But I want you to say we were healed. I told you about healing us from our sin sickness. That's done. And we were healed for eternity. Because when Jesus comes back and we meet him in the air in a twinkling of an eye, for those that are still living, you go up to meet him, and he's going to take off all of the corruptible and place on the incorruptible, y'all. So there will be no sickness, no disease, no handicaps, and no disability. So I leave with this. All of our healing is not for this side, but everybody will be healed on the other side. The scripture says, by his stripes we were healed. For now, for those who receive the healing, and everybody in eternity. That's the lesson for tonight. Any questions, comments, or concerns, you can speak them at this time. If you'd like to add something to the lesson, you can. If you just want to talk about how good God is in your life, you can. If anybody would like to say anything, you can press the one button on your phone, and I'll open your mic. Well, if there's nothing else to be said at this time, we could have our benediction. One minute, I got to open her mic. Sister Pam, your mic is now open.
The benediction tonight is coming from 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen.
Amen. And I just want to give a shout out to the people that live in Seychelles. It's spelled S-E-Y-C-H-E-L-L-E. I think that's an island in some part of Africa. The number of people that's listening to our Blog Talk station, Words of Wisdom, is growing weekly. And also those in South Africa and India and Canada. That's the five places that callers come in with the highest number. Of course, the United States, then is Seychelles, and then South Africa, India, and Canada. And there's other people listening in different places, but they always give you the information for the top five, and that's the five. So I just want to say we thank God for you guys coming on the Internet and listening to the program, and we pray for you and ask that you pray for us. In Jesus' name, amen. That's our amen. Program for tonight. And if anyone would like any special subject to be taught on, you could say it at this time. If not, we're going to go ahead and close for tonight. And if it's God's will and your desire, you will meet back on next week. But until then, go in peace. And may God bless each and every one of us real good. I thank y'all for the prayers that y'all lifted up into me, because my health is coming on. I feel my strength strengthening, and I'm trusting God, and I know he didn't bring me here to leave me. So y'all be blessed. Continue to pray for one another, and God loves you, and so do I. Good night.
Good night.